Við skulum ekki vakum til marna. Það margt sem myrkrið veit, minn hugur þungur.
Welcome to Eerie Iceland. Whether you're captivated by folklore, paranormal, sorcery, the hidden people, haunted things, people or locations in Iceland, you've come to the right place. Here, you'll venture into the dark side of Iceland. I'm Anne.
I'm Vanessa. We're two girl bosses who are obsessed with all of these things. Will you dare to follow us into this unexplainable realm?
Hello, Eerie Iceland listeners. Thank you so much for joining us today. And today, we are not just two. We are three because my fabulous human encyclopedia husband, Davíð Geirjónsson, has joined us for our episode today.
Hi, everyone. Yay. I'll do my best to add some knowledge, spookiness, some fun.
Well, do I have a story for the two of you?
Yeah.
I even brought a prop.
A prop?
I'm Vanessa. Totally doing a little dance in my chair.
Vanessa. Props are my thing.
Well, deal with it because I brought one today.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so this story involves two of our favorite things.
Okay, I'm listening.
Unfortunately, no champagne.
What? What else is a favorite?
That's right. Today's stories, yes, you heard me right, stories, plural, involves money and ghosts.
Oh, okay. Those are a few of my favorite things.
Right? Me too. So when I was doing the research for today's podcast, I found two versions of the first story. Let me tell you one of the versions, and then I will tell you how the other story is a little bit different.
Okay, let's hear it. I'm excited. Let's bring it.
So one time up north, there lived a farmer. This farmer was said to be very wealthy, and he worked very hard and saved all of his money. He was said to be quite selfish as well. However, he had a very kind-hearted and charitable wife. Unfortunately, she had very little influence on her husband.
Okay.
One winter, the farmer turned ill, and shortly after, he passed away. When the farmer's estate was inventoried, no money was found.
But he's said to have been wealthy, and his wife also thinks this?
Yeah, so everyone thinks he's, like, super rich, but when he dies and, like, they, like, inventory the house, like, no money's found. So the other people on the farm, like, ask the widow about her late husband's money. She replies that she has no recollection of any money being left by the farmer. Due to the widow's kind demeanor and history of being the sweetest woman, she was no longer interrogated, as they believed she was telling the truth. They believed the selfish farmer had hidden his money by burying it in the ground.
In the ground.
Which later turned out to be true.
Like, that was a freaking thing. Like, I thought that was just, like, a thing in America. Like, crazy people in America would just, like, bury their money or hide it around in coffee and hide it around the house. That was a thing here, too.
Well, I guess, because, like, this farmer did not want to share his wealth, even in his death.
Even with his wife.
I know. As winter passed, the people on the farm started experiencing really weird encounters. They believed the late farmer was roaming around the farm, coming back for his wealth. It escalated to the point where the people were planning to leave due to these strange occurrences. That spring, the widow was getting ready to vacate the farm, seeing as she has no one left to help her, like, upkeep the farm. But right before the widow, along with the remaining people, leave, a merchant arrives at the farm and offers the widow his services.
Like, out of nowhere.
Yeah. So
saving
grace.
But when you say services, does that mean, like, I'm a farmhand?
I think that's what he was doing because, like, he's a merchant. He's not a farmhand. So he's, like, you know, a merchant is someone that sells things and stuff like that.
What would she have to sell that he would be interested in?
I just think he felt pity for her because, like, Now she has, like, this huge farm. Everyone's leaving and he's, like, trying to give her saving grace.
Okay. I follow.
Yeah. So she accepts this offer. She's like, fuck yeah. Like, please come help. And so after staying at the farm for a while, he also started to experience these weird occurrences. So he went to speak with the widow, asking her about her late husband and if he had any money she knew about. The widow again declined, saying she knew nothing about any money her husband had left. One day, the merchant went down to the market and brought the following items: white leather and a large quantity of iron.
Okay, weird. That's not a combination I would directly put together, but okay.
Right, because back in the day, these people, like, they really had to think on their feet. Like, they, like if you read back into, like, all these folklore stories, there's a lot of, like, really interesting things. You're just like, I never would have thought of that. But we're so lucky. Like, we have everything at our fingertips. But, like, back then, you know, to survive, you had to, like, be sneaky or you know, really smart. And, you know, and those that weren't, they didn't live too long or didn't live too well anyways. So he goes to the market and buys these things. When he returns back to the farm, he got to sewing a white leather suit. Him being a very talented blacksmith, he forged gloves made of iron. He also forged an iron plate and stitched it into the white leather suit. I mean, props to him. Like, give me a needle and, like, no, I cannot sew for any.
But what are we suiting up for? This feels like we're suiting up to be like a soldier or something. Why are you combining, like, metal with leather?
I know, but once I've, like, told a story, you're like, oh, that makes so much sense. Because, okay, like, when I was reading it, I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, where's this going?
Right, but then when I, like, read the next part, I was like, that's so smart. Like, he's so smart. So after he had made his, like, suit, he dressed him, and it became night. He dressed himself in the suit and put on his gloves. He then walks over to the graveyard where the farmer was laid to rest. He sat by a nearby grave and played with a coin. Soon thereafter, the farmer's ghost rises from his grave. The ghost approaches the merchant and asks, "Are you one of us?" The merchant responds, admitting to being a ghost. The merchant then reaches out his other hand for the ghost to feel. Again, the ghost believes the merchant is indeed a ghost, but becomes weary of the time and starts to collect his money into the chest. The merchant, thinking quickly on his feet, allows the ghost to gather his money and then said, "I will leave my coin here with your money."
Okay.
The ghost agrees and puts away his money and fixes the tuft so nothing can be seen. The both of them then return to the graveyard. The ghost then says, "Where's your hole?" The merchant replies, saying, "It's on the other side of the graveyard."
Okay.
The ghost says, "You go first." "No," said the merchant, "you go first." They argue about this until dawn, until the ghost has no choice but to go back into his grave, and the merchant returns to the farmhouse.
Wait, because, like, dawn is a time where they're, like, beckoned to go back into their graves? Like,
right, because they can't be in daylight.
Okay, so, like, witching hour is the thing.
Yeah, totally. Again, okay. I'm woken up during witching hour, and, like, I'm always just like, oh, it's witching hour, go back to bed.
Is that, like, 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning, or when?
3 to 4.
Maybe
it's 2 to 4, but there's definitely a witching hour.
Okay.
All right. So that day, the merchant gathers a sack filled with water and places it under his bed. That night, he fetches the money and places it under his bed as well. That night, when everyone went to sleep, the merchant sleeps in the bed opposite of where the sack and money was. It wasn't long until the ghost appeared with great force, hit the bedpost, and then left. It is said that the merchant left the farmer's path in a way that the farmer never returned again. After this, the merchant kept the chest, along with the homemade attire he made of white leather and iron, in sawdust, so the ghost would not find the scent of soil.
Oh.
This was his way of tricking the ghost from his treasure.
Clever.
The ghost, being tricked, honored the merchant, and he was never seen again. Shortly after, the merchant married the widow, and they lived happily ever after.
With dude's money.
Yeah. So the other story says that the man that tricked the ghost was a graveyard worker. And so there's no recollection, like, there's no
backstory.
There's no, like, wife or anything involved in this one. There was a lot of occurrences at the graveyard, and so he decides to do a night watch. He dressed himself in white cloth and rubbed himself into the ground.
Oh, as like an alternative to the iron and the white leather.
Yeah. So like okay. he was wearing white, but he was like dirty, like as a ghost would yeah. be if he came out of his grave.
Sure, sure.
And the ghost approaches him and said, "Are you one of us?" "Yes," replied the worker. "Then come with me," said the ghost. "We shall have fun tonight." They set off, and the ghost became faster, but the worker couldn't keep up. Then the ghost said, "You're strangely slow if you're one of us." Again, this guy is thinking on his feet and being mm-hmm. super smart. He says, "That's because I was slow in life, and thus I'm slow now." Smart, thinking on his feet.
That's great.
"I shall carry you then," said the ghost, and placed the worker on his back. They then reached a nearby farmhouse. Once inside, the ghost led the worker into the farm's pantry. You see, there had been some weird occurrences in this farm before, but nothing was ever taken. Inside the pantry, under the soil, the ghost lifted out a chest. Inside of the chest was a lot of money. The worker closed the pantry door as the money out of the chest seemed to shine or glow. The worker wanted to make sure no one would wake up and see that something was going on in the pantry. The ghost empties the chest and pours all of his money on the floor. The worker tried to delay the ghost as much as he could. The ghost dumped out all the money on the floor 3 times. The worker then told the ghost it was almost dawn. The ghost replied, "That can't be true, as I usually dump my money on the floor 4 times.
Like to count it?
Yeah, like he's obsessed with his money, this ghost.
Okay.
"I should have some more time," he said. He obviously did not know that the worker had been delaying him throughout the night and that dawn was probably fast approaching. Once the ghost had poured out his money the 4th time and put it all away, he discovered it was indeed dawn and the sun was starting to rise. He then rushes back to the graveyard. The worker, of course, followed him back to the graveyard. As you might expect, a ghost becomes weaker with the rising sun, like we discussed earlier. Mm-hmm. Once they got to the grave, the ghost discovered that the worker had tricked him. He had closed off his grave so the ghost could not return to its den. The ghost pleaded with the worker to allow him back into his grave before he would vanish in the rising sun.
So is that like a form of like you have to see the light and you pass on then by like blocking the grave? Because that's really interesting.
Or they don't even get to pass on. They just like don't exist anymore because like they like I feel like the sun like kills like everything there's left.
Okay.
The worker made the ghost promise he would never come back. The ghost had no other choice but to agree. After the ghost had gone back to where he came from, the worker went back to the farm to fetch the money. When the worker told the farm's people what he had done and what he had found, he was allowed to keep all the money, as the people in the farm believed the worker had saved them from the ghost.
Interesting.
Anne, do you know what they say as to why ghosts return from their death?
I have no idea. Please enlighten me.
Okay, so there's 2 theories that ghosts either come back to haunt the living because, like, they were wrongfully, like, killed or like, in their life, they didn't have a good life, and so they want to come back for revenge.
By that person, they could haunt the person or they could haunt the place.
Or exactly. Like, if they were wrongfully dead, they would haunt the person or the place. But if they were, like, just had a really bad life and they just don't feel like it was time for them to die or they never got to live right or whatever, they'll come back as well. And they're just, like these depressed, like angry ghosts because they had a bad life, or they're coming back for like their wealth. So like those ghosts, they were like coming back for their money. So like, that's what some people believe.
I like it. I'd come back for my money.
That's why you need to spend it while you're still alive.
Agreed.
That's why I have no money.
Well, that's not going to be a creepy ghost.
No.
Well,
she might.
No creepy money ghosts here.
Yes,
no,
I don't think she'll be a money ghost. No.
I'll be like visiting ex-boyfriends. You didn't love me enough. I'm going to like scare you every night. I'm just kidding. All right. So we still have some time. Do you want to hear another story about another money ghost?
Always. Bring me all the money ghost stories.
I was totally hoping you would say that. This story is actually about a criminal that was sentenced to death. His very lucky fate allowed him to also come across a rich ghost. And with his quick wit, he changed his demise by tricking the ghost.
Let's hear it. I can't wait. Give me the trickery. Give me the money. Give me the story.
In the times where Christianity was established in Iceland, a criminal from the west of Snæfellsjökull, was sentenced to death. He was transferred to a prison to await his death. Once there, he was informed that he would be executed in 3 days' time.
That quickly? You get your sentence and then you're automatically getting executed days later?
Well, I don't think there was a lot of food back then either, so they were probably just, like, in a hurry, like, so they didn't have to, like, keep feeding him. Okay. What do you think, David?
Depends. In Althingi, it would just happen immediately. You'd be sentenced in the morning and then they would execute you.
Althingi meaning Thingliver?
Yeah, the parliament.
Yeah, the first parliament. So folks out there that are unfamiliar with Althingi, that is Thingliver National Park.
Yeah, and those of you that have gone hiking through there, you might remember a beautiful little serene pool with a little waterfall flowing out of it. That's the drowning pool where women were executed. And they put them in a sack and threw them into the pool.
We'll save that for an upcoming episode.
Yikes. Well, luckily for this, like, prisoner, he actually had 3 days, which changed his fate. So, like, yay him.
Yay, yay, yay.
So the first night of the prison, he noticed some movements outside of his window. On the second night, there was even more movement. On the third day, the prisoner asked the guard, whom he'd befriended, for some help. He requested that the guard bring him a human corpse. The guard was intrigued and willing to help and brought the prisoner a human corpse. Totally normal.
Like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Happens every day in some jobs.
Just not my job.
Can you find me a corpse?
I will never request a corpse on my job. Nope.
And if someone asked for a corpse on their wedding, being an ambitious wedding planner, would you do it?
Well, no.
You do, though. You bring, like, animal corpses.
That's different. Those are bones. There's still a difference between bones and, like, a bloody, pussy, like, bloated corpse. There's a big difference, folks.
Someone asked you to bring a skeleton.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
A human skeleton?
I mean,
I think she'd order one online and be like, it's real. But it'd be like one of those, like, ones that they have in school.
I don't know.
Anne would find, like, a medieval skeleton and drag it out.
I don't know what I would do.
Okay, if I die before my time, I will give you mine to use.
Okay, you're going to donate your skeleton.
Yes, queen.
To our Iceland Wedding Planner project. Okay. All right.
All right.
For those of you interested, you just have to wait a couple decades here. Here we go.
Oh, tomorrow I get hit by a car.
Stop it. I'm snatching that back from the universe right now.
All right.
Back to the story, please.
All right. So the prisoner took the corpse and dressed him in a leather shirt so his face and arms were visible. And then he put him in his bed and let him lay there. Once the night came, the prisoner waited by the window and waited for movement. That's when he saw the ghost. The prisoner then went through the window, likely with the help of the guard, and followed the ghost. He caught up with the ghost at a nearby mount. The prisoner asked the ghost, "Who are you?" The ghost replies, "Who are you?" The prisoner replies, "I'm the same as you." The ghost then disappears into a mound. The prisoner follows him into it. Inside of the mound is bags and bags and bags of money. The prisoner asks him how he came to have all this money. The ghost then explains that he was a very rich merchant and that was unrightfully wronged. He then asks the prisoner if he owns any money. The prisoner says, "Yes, I shall start sprinkling it too." Then the ghost tells the prisoner, "It's almost day. Aren't you going to go? It must be time to go." The prisoner denies this, saying, "It's long until it becomes dawn." They start to argue until, of course, day breaks. Once the sunlight hits the ghost's eyes, he turns into dust and disappears. The prisoner returns to the prison. The next day, before he is to be executed, he asks to talk to the king. This was respected. The prisoner was allowed to speak to the king. He told the king of the money and promised he would show the king the mound and allow the king to take as much as he wanted. He asked that in return, he would be pardoned and allowed to take some of the wealth for himself. He promised that if the king would allow for this, he would use the money for good and change his life around and build a church.
Oh, it's a little incentive.
I mean, he's like saying, I'll be a better guy. I'll build a church. And so, like, the king's like, I mean, if there really is money, let's see what happens. So So once the king went to the mound along with his men, they found all of the money. Seeing the prisoner was telling the truth, he allowed the prisoner to be pardoned. The prisoner built a timber church on Ingjaldshot in Snæfellsnes.
This is a real church?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Still a church there.
Yeah.
Like, I can go visit it tomorrow.
Yeah. Ghost searching for money ghosts.
You can visit a church called the same thing. However, it's not the same church. This is how Ingjaldshola Kirkja became to be built. So he built the first church.
Okay.
At first, it was much bigger than it is now. The church has been reduced twice, both after the Black Death and the Great Plague. In 1694, the church collapsed in a storm. And in 1696, it was rebuilt with contributions from other churches. So, yes, you can go see the church as it exists, but it's not the original built church that this prisoner builds.
Okay.
And that concludes our money ghost stories for today.
But his legacy is there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, at least that's the story behind the church. And this is an Icelandic folklore story. But when I was looking for information, I never found out who the prisoner was.
That's okay. I like it. Yes. Good stories. Bring on the money ghosts.
Whoop, whoop.
Maybe we should go poke around at that church to see if there's, you know, any hidden legacies or something.
Yeah, because it said that, like, after he built the church, he still had some money left. So maybe he became a godly man and gave it to charity, or he hid it. And now he's a money ghost there.
I like it. Good stories, Vanessa. Bravo.
Thank you. Well, we do thank you for coming today. Davi, do you want to add anything?
Make sure you spend your money while you're still alive.
Cheers to that.
Thank you so much for venturing into the dark side of Iceland with us. We hope our stories resonate with you.
Stay tuned for more Nightmare-worthy podcasts. And if you want to hear more, give us a follow on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. You can also find us on Instagram at Eerie Iceland and by searching Eerie Iceland on Facebook.
See you next time.